Welcome back in. Hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And it's that time of the week. We go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, host of Talking with TD and Nate with TD, or Nate and TD. Teron, what's going on, man? How we doing?
Hey, good morning. How's everything?
We are doing wonderful. Teron, I want to get your thoughts. We haven't had you on since J.J. Watt made his decision. What did you think of J.J. Watt to the Arizona Cardinals? How surprised were you at the money that he was paid and that Arizona was the destination?
Yeah, the biggest surprise was the money that he was paid. I didn't think he was going to be able to get that much, but more power to him. I want everybody to win as much as they can on the financial column. I get it, though, because I think one of the things that would have drawn him to the Titans drew him to the Cardinals, and that's scheme familiarity. He played under Vance Joseph defense in the past, so it's always good when you're a free agent to know that you're going to a scheme that you've been successful in. I think that helps hedge the bet, and that's what happened with him.
So, TD, with the Titans, you know, apparently involved here, and although I don't really buy the report out of Arizona that, you know, that there were several other offers or however it was phrased that were right there, but still, I mean, if the Titans were, you know, more around 12 a year range or something like that, I guess does that tell you that you know that they're going to be still out there hunting and maybe able to find the money to pay one of these high-level edge players?
I think it does. If they were going to be able to find the money, you know, maybe they were digging into the couches there at St. Thomas Sports Park, and instead right. of pulling out change, they were pulling out millions. I don't know, but, you know, maybe they were able to do that. I think it does, but I don't think a guy like a Matt Judon, and Ryan and I talked about this yesterday. Like, I don't think that type of guy is someone, or even a Bud Dupree. I think they're going to have to go on one of the upper second tier guys like a Carl Lawson, Romeo Okwara. I think that's really what they're going to have to do if they make a free agent move.
TD, you bring up Carl Lawson there. He has been a very popular name on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, of a player that Titans fans would like to pursue. What do you think of Carl Lawson as a player? What stands out to him when you watch him play?
I think he's a perfect complement to Harold Landry in that, you know, Landry is a guy that doesn't always play, you know, strong side. He's normally a weak side backer. You have Lawson as a strong side. He's a guy you could, you know, when you go even fronts, he'll put his hand in the dirt and be effective there. He's very good at setting the edge. He is also a guy that will get more sacks in this scheme, you know what I mean? When he's able to attack a little bit more and he's not playing like the hunter in the game. And I always liken pass rushes to lions hunting a gazelle. And in Lawson's case, he's always the guy that has to flush the gazelle out of the meadow so the other lions could go get him. I think here he will be the lion that's able to go get the quarterback, if you follow me. So that's definitely a good thing, and I think he's a guy that will come to the Titans and just really blossom as a pass rusher.
I love that. That's why TD is the best in the business right there. That was a great description.
I do, too. It makes me think that, like, so I guess last year's defense was like house cats, sort of? Is that where we're kind of somewhere
yeah,
in that range?
So, man.
So, TD, you have advocated for a tag of some kind for Jonnu Smith. Here's another money question, because, you know, Field Yates put out his list yesterday with, obviously, not a huge surprise, but, you know, some rollover money. It looks like the Titans may have a little bit more than, like, if you went by the straight math that they would have. Is that how you'd apply it? And are you talking transition or franchise with Jonnu?
Yeah, I would say transition. Now, in that exercise that we did on NFL Nation, we didn't have the option to say transition. So I felt that he's going to get tagged, so I had to say franchise. But I do think they placed a transition tag, and it's one of those things where you know he's going to go on the market and draw a lot of interest because he's a very attractive player. So you want to do everything you can to kind of tip the scales into your favor and just maintaining some type of leverage.
ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter Teron Davenport on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, TD, we spent a lot of time talking to you about Corey Davis and how important he is for this Titans offense. But let's just operate under, I guess, an exercise that he's not here for the Titans next season. If he's gone and you lose him to free agency, how do you go about handling that receiving room if you're John Robinson and the Titans? Because you look past Corey Davis now that Adam Humphries is gone. It's A.J. Brown and not a whole lot else if Corey Davis is not a part of the, equation here.
Yeah, I think you're going to have to draft, and I think if you are going to allow Corey Davis to go elsewhere, you'll probably have to go for one of the lower-tier guys that to give you adequate snaps. I mean, you hate to downgrade after such a fine offensive year, but if you're not going to be as strong receiver-wise, you absolutely better make sure that that money is invested in the pass rush, right, which will make the overall team better. I mean, you look at a guy like Rashad Bateman. I mean, he could come in. You look at, you know, you got Josh Palmer later in the draft. You got, there are multiple guys, and then you're going to have to look at someone in the slot too. So if Corey Davis leaves, you're going to have to draft two receivers more than likely. And, you know, that kind of puts you in limbo as far as other areas that you have to address via the draft.
What do you think about Rondale Moore? You like Rondale Moore?
Yeah, I do like Rondale Moore. I still want to see that guy that we saw before he had the injury.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, just that Ohio State game alone, that one right there, he could go to the league just off of that game.
Dominated.
He's definitely a playmaker. Yeah, he's absolutely. I know, you know, that's the Big Ten football, and I know you like that. So I'm sure you'll be pulling for him, and I am too, you know. But I like the other Moore too, Elijah Moore. He's a really good one. And I tell you, a guy who could come in and play, and no one's really talking about. We had him on Talking with TD, Cade Johnson out of South Dakota State. I told him he reminds me of Doug Baldwin, but he said that, you know, he has been getting a lot of Tyler Lockett comparisons, which is really good, and he's an excellent return man. So he would fill both knees, and he would be a day three guy, you know, coming out of South Dakota State.
Before that, TD, I would assume John Robinson is going to sign someone to at least help depth there. And again, not knowing what's going on with Corey Davis, he may have to. But what do you think about, and there are going to be other guys like this, as you know, in the next few days, but what do you think about like a Golden Tate at this point in his career?
I would probably not do that. He would give you a really good slot player, you know, and a possession guy and someone who could get you yards after. He would actually fit, you know, from that perspective because he's a steady target. But I don't know what the cost would be. And I think they would be better served getting a guy. If you're going to pay for an experienced seasoned veteran, Marvin Jones would be the guy that I would pay for. But you do have, you know, some other options there as well. But I think Jones is a better fit in the same price point.
TD, last thing for you. We saw a report the other day from Adam Schefter that Delanie Walker looks like he's going to try to give it a go for this season. Obviously, he'll be 37 years old, and injuries were a big part of the story in his last couple of years with the Titans. What do you think Delanie Walker could have left in the tank, and what do you think his market value could be at this point, as you look around the landscape of not only the league, but his age and just the way this offseason is set up?
Yeah, I think that would be a veteran minimum type of deal. And I could see him going to a team like the Falcons, right? He and Arthur Smith get the band back together. I could definitely see that because they could use help at the tight end position to run more 12 personnel. You're obviously not going to get the same playmaker as you had before. You know, he was at one point the focal point of the passing game. It's not going to be that way, but I would imagine he could still, you know, use his craftiness and leverage and get open on select routes and help out. But I don't think it's going to be a major impact. Those days are gone.
ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, host of Talking with TD, and Nate and TD, Teron Davenport, has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Show. TD, great stuff as always, my man. Appreciate you taking time to join us.
Yeah, for sure. And you know what? Let's take out the Nate and TD. That's on ice for now.
It is.
But the TD Power Hour is in full effect, baby.
It is in full effect. TD, one of the best in the business, as you heard. Very descriptive in nature as well. Appreciate you, my man. We'll talk to you next week.
Yes, sir.
Absolutely. Right, yeah. When we come back, we'll react to a little bit of what TD had to say there, transition back into the Predators as well. All that coming up here in just a few minutes. And speaking of the Preds, how'd you like to watch the Preds game in style? Make sure you're tuning in a little bit later on in the show as we reveal a keyword for you to text into the game line at 615-737-1025 for your chance to win the T-Mobile Hockey Home Gate. It's your chance to watch a weekend Preds game with a Dos Equis prize pack, which includes a case of beer, dessert from Nothing But Cakes, a T-Mobile prize pack, and food provided by 312 Pizza Company in Germantown. You must be 21 or older to enter. We'll have that opportunity coming for you later in the show. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Join 102.5 The Game today at Blood Assurance for their grand opening at 1767 Wilma Rudolph Boulevard in Clarksville from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. They'll be giving away $50 Publix gift cards every hour for donors, and you can also enter to win a pair of Preds tickets to see them take on the Red Wings at Bridgestone Arena coming up on Tuesday, March the 23rd. Blood Assurance is the sole supplier of blood products to Tenova Healthcare in Clarksville, so make sure you join us out there today at 1767 Wilma Rudolph Boulevard in Clarksville from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Had the TD on in the last segment, Teron Davenport. And Joe, you brought up the idea of Golden Tate maybe coming in and playing in the slot. We've had a couple people on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, ask about Golden Tate as well. What do you think of that? What do you think of the fit that he could be here with the Titans? Maybe in the slot. Obviously a hometown guy, some connections here to the area. What do you think he still has left in the tank at this point in his career?
Well, don't take me bringing him up as saying I'm all in on Golden Tate.
Sure.
You know, I think that, I mean, he was halfway through, what, four-year, $38 million deal with the Giants, which is like, whoa.
Yeah.
He's another one of those. I mean, look, he's been, not too long ago, a really good player. Again, you talk about a guy who did not get lionized. You know, you all get lionized, you lose. But you're talking about four straight years in Detroit, 99, 90, 91, and 92 catches, including a 99 for 1331, okay? Awesome stuff, but 32, banged up, injuries, the whole, and I advocated earlier on the show, get people on their way up who aren't expensive. You know, obviously, the good people who are on the way up who aren't expensive are on rookie deals. You
right.
can't get them. But, you know, you can go younger than Golden Tate. To me, it's just about price. If he's healthy, I do think, I mean, you need someone in the slot, and he is a very good slot receiver. When he's healthy, when he's right, it hasn't gone well lately.
It has not. And look, to TD's point, we don't know exactly what the market value will be for him and what the money situation will look like for him. But obviously, a guy that's been that productive in his career and a guy that has connections to the area as well, going to be at least a popular talking point among Titans fans. I'd be surprised, I guess, if Golden Tate ends up here. But certainly, you look at his career, very productive, obviously able to get open. And it's hard to judge, like, the last couple of years with the Giants because, I mean, that offense has just been atrocious. I'm not sure Daniel Jones is the answer there, and that line has struggled. I mean, they've just had all sorts of problems in New York. So the production's not great. Like, he had 35 catches last year in 12 games, 388 yards, two touchdowns. So obviously that's not going to blow you away. But it is the New York Giants as well.
Like, if you got 2019 Golden Tate with the Giants, with a bad Giants team, 49 yeah. catches, 676, almost 14 a catch, six touchdowns.
You take that.
Now, it wasn't that long ago. So, the guy's been a really productive receiver. Again, his best years were with Detroit, but he had good years with Seattle too. It's just 32 years old, coming off that deal. What is he looking for? You know, he's one of those guys who if you're him and you obviously maybe you're a little bit drawn to hometown, and also you look at the Titans and what they have going offensively, you could see how maybe a year with the Titans could be good for you and then make you more attractive when the cap looks better. I mean, yeah. I think a lot of guys will probably be looking at it like that. So from his perspective, I could see him being interested. I mean, the question for me would be, okay, then with all those things that you like, how cheap can we be with you?
Right.
The guy, 4 year, it's 4 year, $37.5 million deal with the Giants. And no surprise at all that he's out there right now looking for work. Is there somebody out there who wants to pay him, I don't know, $6-7 million a year? Like, I wouldn't do that if I were the Titans at all.
I wouldn't do that either.
Going to have Terry Crisp coming up here in just a few minutes to talk about the Preds and their game last night against the Florida Panthers. Another tough one for the Preds last night. They fall 5-4 to Florida in a game, Joe, where it was basically the same script that they followed most of the season so far. And you come out in the first period, no show offensively, and even defensively last night. They were making some decisions with the puck and in transition that were just really bad. Florida was by far the better team. It ends up 2-0 in the first period. It could have been worse. Florida makes it 3-0 at the early part of the second period. And then the Predators find their way back in it. Ekholm gets a goal. He's got 4 in his last 4 games. They have a push in the third period to get it to 5-4, but ultimately it's too late. Aaron Ekblad was phenomenal last night. 2 goals, 2 assists. He is playing really good hockey, Norris Trophy level hockey so far for the Panthers. What did you think of the game last night? And the Predators now 10-13-0 on the season. And what do you think of just kind of the state and the psyche of where this team is right now, just based on the fact that they continue to have these issues to begin games?
I mean, I guess you could, if you want to make excuses for them, you could say, well, we've been talking for weeks now about who's going to get traded, and that's got to be hard to deal with. Maybe that has something to do with their starts. I don't know. That's just me throwing out a random excuse. I don't think it really carries much water. I think that they're a not very good team that was very much outclassed by a much better team last night, and it's very consistent that this team starts slowly. And that's, I think there's more to it probably than just that they're not as good as a lot of their opponents. I think it's inexcusable that you start that poorly every game. And I just think the whole third period, you know, those numbers in the third period are almost all just because they're down multi goals a lot. And that's how things go in hockey a lot. They fought, and I give them credit for fighting. Ekholm scores that goal, and he's trying to get everybody riled up and stuff like that. But it's just not good enough. So it's going to change.
Porth, what was the stat you threw out earlier in the first period? They've scored 11 goals this year in the first period.
Yeah, they've scored 11 goals in the first period. They've given up 24. So their goal differential in the first 20 minutes is minus 13, but actually is worse in the second period.
Yeah.
The goal differential was minus 17 with 11 goals scored and 28 given up.
So they've scored,
that's pretty bad,
a combined 22 goals in the first and second periods.
And given up 52.
Yeah. That's a tough
so
spot.
Again, yeah, so what happens? You're behind a lot, by a lot, in the third period, and you score a goal or two to make a game closer, just like last night.
So, like, it's becoming Groundhog Day on the post-game press conference part of this because, I mean, there's only so much you can talk about when it continues to be the same issue over and over again. And, like, Forsberg and Arvidsson talked last night after the game, and of course, we're asking them questions about, all right, like, why does this continue to be an issue with the slow starts and everything that's happening? And, look, I mean, the simple answer is if they knew exactly what was going on, they'd probably fixed it by now. And, like, it's not like they're trying to come out and have these slow starts. But they just don't really seem to have an answer for what's going on out there right now. And John Hines talked about the urgency level not being where it needs to be. That's probably part of it.
Not even close were
right.
His words.
But
not even close.
And if that's what it is, like, to me, some of that's on coaching too. Like, you got to find a way to get your team ready to play. Like, I understand you're professional athletes and you're getting paid. You ought to be ready to play without anybody motivating you. That you're absolutely right. And I think the motivation aspect of this is way overblown in professional sports. But if you're talking about a compete level and an urgency level not being where it needs to be at this point when you're 10-12 coming into this game and you're already in such a hole when it comes to making the playoffs, urgency should be the one thing that's on your side. Like, that should be what you're playing with, is urgency. And, you know, to talk about, you know, maybe that being a factor in this, I wonder how much of that is coach speak and him just saying that, and how much of that is actually an issue. Because to me, if that's an issue with this team, that does not speak well of this group.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. I can't watch this team play and say that's terrible effort. I mean, mostly I'm seeing them be outplayed. I mean, yeah. Sometimes you make bad mistakes. Those have been part of this too. But what does a coach do before a game to prevent those from happening? I mean, you practice things. You know, I don't want to take the accountability off John Hines at all. Okay, I mean, I think everything when a team is losing, everyone is up for review on that stuff. But I feel like some people are putting more on him. And again, talk about questions after the game. Vingan's asking about his job status right now. Adam Vingan, who by the way called shot Matias Ekholm to the Capitals. Yes. Let's get that on the record. Vingan, you Capitals homer. I mean, like, to me, I think it's crazy. I think it's crazy to talk about John Hines singling him out right now for this situation. I think that is people. I think that's people trying to, like, talk themselves into what is it? What is? It's people trying to talk themselves out of what the real issue is. That's what I'm trying to say. This has been trending well before John Hines got here. This way, and he may not be doing a good job, but I have a hard time with a bunch of 30-year-olds needing some Newt Rockne speech to get their
go there and play.
Yeah, I mean, it's so not trying to isolate him and say he doesn't deserve blame, but I think too many people are trying to load it on him because they don't want to, I guess, face the truth.
Victor Arvidsson with 3 points last night, 3 assists. So nice to see him kind of get going again offensively. Forsberg, 3 points as well, 1 goal and 2 assists. Forsberg now at 22 points in 23 games. So if you would have told me that heading into the season, that Forsberg would be basically a point-per-game player at almost the halfway point, I would have said Predators probably in pretty good shape.
Might be all right.
Might be okay.
Who's our pick-to-click winner?
It was Jack yesterday.
Jack. Yeah. Congrats, Jack.
Jumping Jack Flash.
Yeah.
Pick to click.
Forsberg. Nice little tip in. Redirection.
Pick to click callers. At first, I thought that was Arvidsson.
Yeah.
Getting on the board.
But it was not.
But it was still, that was a good shot by Arvidsson that led to the goal. So pick to click folks have 5. I have 4. Porth has 1. You have 0, by the way.
Thank you. Appreciate
we
that.
We haven't mentioned that in the show.
Appreciate that reminder.
Hey, don't worry. We got weekend winners coming up later. Wait till you see those standings.
Yeah, that'll be great, too. Really looking forward to that coming up as well. When we come back, we'll be joined by Predators TV analyst Terry Criss. We'll get into the game last night and the weekend coming up for the Predators. All that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. The Game is kicking off every weekend with free beer.
Free beer!
And who doesn't love free beer? Ryan Porth loves him some free beer. Tune in all day today for your chance to win a $25 gift card from Bavarian Beer House located at Opera Mills Mall. We'll have that opportunity coming up for you a little bit later on in the show today.
9:45. Nothing picks me up like a beer can.
Oh, boy. Maybe some Luke Combs involved as well.
Remind me again, was it Luke who gave Porth a big hug from the as Porth? Who was
that? That was Eric Church.
Eric Church, yeah. That's right. Well, I thought we were going to have a picture of this. Show it to me.
I'll show it to you during the break.
Porth,
we'll tweet it out, maybe.
Little tear coming down Porth's. It's like when Justin Beasley looks at Rick Stockstill.
Just tears of joy. We are efforting to get Terry Criss to join us. We'll hopefully have that for you coming up in just a few minutes. Joe, the Predators, I mean, they're in a tough spot right now. And the question is, like, if you're David Poile, we knew coming into this week that this was a big week. And he talked about it earlier this week on Darren Donica Chase about the stretch they've got coming up. Obviously, you know, Carolina, Florida, Tampa Bay on the schedule, Dallas, even though Dallas has been awful as of late, and they were awful yet again last night. Some good teams on the slate here coming up for the Predators over the next couple of weeks. About to go in on a 16-day road trip as well after the home game tomorrow against Florida. The question is how much longer is David Poile going to watch this and see this happen without acting? And look, he's a guy, obviously, there's a ton of experience. There is a ton of patience that I think general managers have to display. And I'm not saying that he should just rush to start trading people right now, but I don't think we're far away from some decisions being made and from the selling process beginning, because you're 10-13-0, the playoffs right now, I mean, they just look like a pipe dream at this point. I mean, we ran the numbers the other day. Just from a statistical stand, I think they had a 7% chance heading into the game yesterday. Obviously, you lose it. That does not help whatsoever. So, I mean, you're talking about a very small chance, just purely based on the stats at this point, that the playoffs are going to happen. To me, if you're David Poile, I just wonder how much longer you wait until maybe the ball starts rolling on selling off some of these pieces. I don't think we're that far away.
I don't even necessarily buy that. Like, the David Poile, I know what he said this week. You're gonna say that. Hey, let's see how we do.
Right.
Like, do you think that David Poile hasn't been having conversations with people?
Oh, I think he
hasn't been preparing for this, hasn't been looking into this and getting ready for.
David Poile is a very honest guy. He knows what's going on. There has been this perception on Twitter over the last couple of weeks that fans have tweeted me about, like, Poile living in fantasy land or something and trying to hold out hope for this team. I've tried to explain to people there's a difference between what you say in interviews and what the conversations internally are. Like, you're not going to hear general managers, by and large, come out publicly and, like, blast their team or put their team on notice publicly. Like, it just doesn't happen very often. It really doesn't serve a whole lot of purpose. Like, I think fans sometimes want David Poile to come on the radio or come into his press conference and be like, yeah, like, Matt Duchene needs to play better. If he doesn't, we're going to trade him, like, tomorrow. And that's not how this works. That's not how you operate in professional sports. So, I agree. I think those who think that David Poile is just kind of sitting around with his hands tied behind his back and is just waiting, well, if they win this game, maybe I'll do this. Or if they lose this game, I'll do this. I think there are plans that are in motion.
I mean, what if this team got back into some kind of conversation where it was close to the playoffs?
And he had previously, like, talked about blowing it up? Yeah.
No, but what I'm saying is I don't care, even if they do that. You've got to change this. You've got to be a seller. Like, I understand the whole thing. You get in and who knows what could happen. This team isn't built to do anything in the playoffs. It's not good.
No.
Not a good team. David Poile built this team. He doesn't have a good team. He's going to have to break it up and retool it. And, yeah, he's not going to give a press conference before making the moves.
No.
So, now, David Poile, I will say, in terms of speaking on individual players,
I think he's
more willing to say things and even at times call someone out than a lot of GMs are. And he did put his team on notice when he fired Peter Laviolette last year.
He did.
And things have not gotten better. But, again, who is that on? You can say it's partially on John Hines, but to me, it's more on David Poile.
Yeah. I mean, everything right now is not good enough for the Predators. I mean, they're 10-13-0. We talked about earlier in the show, like, you get to a place finally where you've gotten to the cup final. You've been trying to get there for so long. You get there, you follow it up with a President's Trophy win, and it seems like ever since the Dallas series, things have been trending in the wrong direction. And you look at the age of some of these guys. You're like, okay, well, how did they get there? I mean, Johansson's 28. Yossi's 30. Ellis is 30. Forsberg's 26. Arvidsson's 27. It's not like they've got a bunch of 34-year-olds out there playing. So
they should be, right, as built, they should be in their
still
prime.
Still in the prime.
They should be a contender.
Yeah.
With a bunch of guys in their prime. And go individually down the list. Who's still playing right now like David Poile thought they'd be playing when he signed him to long-term deals? Yossi and Forsberg, right?
And even Forsberg last year wasn't good. Like, he wasn't good enough last year. I mean, he's okay. Of the four that we talk about all the time, he was probably the closest to being right last year. He still wasn't good.
Right, we talked about him all the time last year. Like, yeah. You got to get it going.
Now, he's been great this year. 22 points in 23 games. And
still they're this bad.
It's still they're this bad at times. Like, I think he's been, quite frankly, just outstanding out there. So he is at the top of the list of guys who have played well this year for the Predators. Yossi's played well. You know what you're going to get out of Yossi. Ekholm is playing great right now. But to your point, I mean, some of these guys that you've given long-term contracts to, I mean, the two obvious names are Johansson and Duchesne. They get paid the most money. They're making $8 million a year. You've got four goals between the two of them. If that's the production you're going to get for $16 million a season, you have no chance. Like, you don't give yourself a chance to win when you've got two high-paid guys like that and the production being what it is. Matt Duchesne, he's got 8 points in 23 games. I realize Ryan Johansson has been hurt, and that's been part of the story this year as well. But, I mean, you look at his stats, he's got 6 points in 15 games, one goal. It's not good enough. 14 points between the two of them. You give yourself no chance to win with any sort of consistency when those are your top two guys and the production is what it is. Like, you have no chance to win when that's the case.
Yeah, and look, obviously with Johansson, he has not been a big goal scorer here at all. You know, he's never had a 20 goal season, and that's been fine because, I mean, the thing with Johansson is, like, you go 18-19 and last season he had 14 goals in both of those seasons, but he had 50 assists in the 18-19 season. It goes down to 22. That's only 12 fewer games. Why is that? We know last year, I mean, he was the biggest individual mystery of this team.
Yeah.
Then he's just unbelievable in Edmonton in the bubble for a couple weeks or 10 days or however long they were there. But, you know, this is a guy, obviously, who needs to get more. And Duchesne so far, I think Duchesne has been better this year than Johansson. But we're past the point of just looking skyward.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you've got to find a way to start finishing on some of these chances. Let's quickly go to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Predators TV analyst Terry Crisp. Crispy, what's going on, man? How we doing?
Good morning, gentlemen. Well, we're all in the same boat, and we're still a little frustrated, the same as you guys are, looking for answers, and we sit and talk after the games when they're over, and Mace and Skilzy and myself and Pete Weber and whatnot, and we're shaking our heads like you are, thinking, okay, what do we have to do? What has to be done here? And we all keep listening to the interviews with the players and the coaches, and they're all saying the right things and what they need to be done. And it just, for some reason, is not happening. And I guess the biggest thing we point out right now is, first off, our starts, which are really bad.
Yeah.
A period and a half. And then you guys were talking about, I just caught the last thing on the, not finishing around the net. And the one area that we talked yesterday with Coach Hines, he is really good talking with the broadcast bunch of us, and he was saying that, you know, this is the second effort league. And he said the second effort league means that one effort out there is not enough. And your first effort will get you over the blue line towards the net. The second effort will get you to the front of the net. And the third is where you pay the price, the greasy spot. You're going to get hit. You're going to get cross-checked. But whatever it is, to get there, to either put the puck in the net, tip the puck, or get a rebound. And right now, that is our biggest concern, is we are not, and I emphasize not, getting to the net in the greasy areas for the second and third effort.
Well, Crispy, I think you're exactly right. And I think part of this that's frustrating for fans is, you know, it's difficult to come up with what the answer is, especially when you bring up the starts. I mean, you brought it up there. This has been a consistent theme with the Predators so far, is the struggle that they've had out of the gate in the first periods. You know, as a former coach, as you look at it, when you have a problem that is consistently popping up in your game like that, and obviously you've addressed it, you've tried different things, how frustrating is that when the results don't look any different? And what are you seeing right now for the Predators when they start games? Why do you think it's been so slow out of the gate?
You know what? If I could figure that one out, to say that. But the one thing that I always maintain, both as a player and as a coach, when you start the game, if the coach starts you out there, excuse me, the one night he started Olivier in that bunch, and they hit everything in sight. Olivier decked about three guys. Arvey made two big hits, and they set the tone. The first. Now, my message to my players is the second, third, and fourth line are going to go up right behind them. I'm rotating you guys. The four lines in this dressing room, you're going 1-2-3-4, 1-2-3-4. And I better see 40, 45 seconds of the best game you're going to play in those 40 to 45 seconds. When we set the tone, it rubs off, and we go from there. We start off, and then the two lines or three lines that show you the best, then you get them. And they're the ones that are going to get the ice time for a while until somebody else takes their spot. But it has to be where everybody in that dressing room knows that if you don't, you're not going back on the ice. I'll run three lines. I'll run two and a half lines, whatever it takes to get going. And if I have two lines that are really buzzing me off the bat, get ready, boys. Tighten your skates because you're going for a couple in a row.
So, Crispy, as a coach, how in this league, talking about, you know, a lot of guys in their 30s making a lot of money, professionals, they know what it takes. So in this league, how much impact can a coach have on effort, emotion, things like that? I mean, and to add on to that, you know, is it like were you a Newt Rockne speech guy? I mean, what did you do to get guys going?
I got to admit, I was a little volatile, and I had an edge to me. But I keep telling them, when you no longer hear from me, start to worry. When you hear silence, start to worry because I no longer care. And that means you're on your way out. But if I'm on you, then I know you can do it. I'm with you. And if we make mistakes, that's fine. We'll live with our mistakes. But you give me the effort the next time out there. And the players will do that. But you know what? You can only – coaches can't win a fight with a player. There's not a chance, and you know what, of a coach. The players that are making them the big money in that, and you're into a situation where you need them, or you should need them, because if you're paying them for the money, it should be producing for you. Now, that's sort of a weird phrase too, because throwing money at a player doesn't make him a better player. He is what he is. Like, let's just say, for hypothetically, I got a player. He's my best player, and he scores 25 goals or 30 goals 1 year, and I'm paying him $3 million. Then next, I give him $6 million next year. He's not going to score 60 goals. He's going to score 25 or 30 goals. That's what he is. That's how good he is. Throwing money at a player doesn't make him a better player. It makes him richer, but it doesn't make him better. And sometimes coaches, and I know this is a bane of a lot of coaches, when you inherit some players that are like that, your hands are tied. It's tough. And it's up to that player himself, individually, to motivate himself. Now, I used to look around my dressing room, and I would find my two toughest and players that had edges to them, and I'd say, listen, you know, and I know, we need so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so playing to win. I've tried it. Why don't you guys take them out to lunch and have a little chat with them as to what it means to get this team going? And if you had the right leadership in that area, a lot of times it works.
Brett's TV analyst Terry Crisp on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And Crispy, it's interesting because, you know, one of the high-paid guys for the Predators has been Matt Duchene. And I thought especially early in the season – he was generating so many chances. He was playing well, getting looks, and it just wasn't falling for him. Lately, he's not been generating anywhere near as much. What do you see right now from Duchene's game, and how frustrated do you think that he is and the team is at this point? How do you battle through that?
Matt is probably as frustrated as anybody's. As frustrated as, or more so even, than the coaches or anything. And because every day he has to get up and face the press and face the fans and face that, why is he doing this? And we worry, get him. And it's not easy. It's not tough. And if that's as good as you are, then we have to live with that. But if it's not, then he has to live with it, or whoever that player is has to live with the fact that he's got to get it going. I don't care what it takes to get him going himself, go and have a talk with whoever or whatever. But get it going. But like I said, throwing money at you doesn't elevate your skill level. That's not going to work. You have to come from within who you are and what you are. And to me, I keep saying, and I've said it for years and years, you put a great big mirror in that dressing room as they're walking out of that dressing room door to go on the ice, and you tell every guy, you take a look in that mirror, and you look at that guy and say, what's he capable? What is he supposed to bring tonight? Is he a penalty killer? Is he the best power play guy we got? Is he the bruiser that's going to lay it out about four or five or six, seven good hits out there? That's you you're talking to in the mirror. And when you hit the ice, that guy you're talking to, you better bring it with him.
Well, Crispy, you just said a great point. You know, you pay a player more. It's not like you're going to, like that's going to just automatically show up in production. What about the other way? I mean, have you had situations where you pay a player and all of a sudden the player is not as motivated to produce?
You know what? I have, but I don't know. A lot of times age works a fact that we don't realize you're getting because they're such good people or injuries that they've had that are still bothering them or whatever. Sometimes you have to get to the bottom of that. And a lot of times it's maybe mental. Like, it's not physical. It's, they don't realize it, but if they've been crushed and they've had concussions and they've had bones broken, hey, it's in the back of your mind. You can't just go to sleep at night and say, I'm going to wash that out of my mind when I hit the ice. Those are factors that also you have to get to with a player, or somebody has to talk with them and figure, are you all right? Or the thing I used to worry about most about players was that they can't, is your family all right? Do you have anybody in your family that is ill or hurting or something you don't want to talk about? And we don't, unless they talk to you and you can talk these things out, you don't know. So maybe there's another facet besides just strapping on the skates and equipment and going out in the ice and play. Maybe there's, but if there is, you have to find the bottom of it and get it. And for their sake and for their family's sake and their children and their wife and whatever, for their sake, you have to try and help them find the solution.
Preds TV analyst Terry Crisp has been our guest here on Robbie and Rexro. Crispy, great stuff as always. Always love getting your perspective, and we'll see him back at it tomorrow against the Florida Panthers at home at Bridgestone.
Thanks, guys. And I just want to say to you all and the fans and I said, hey, listen, when the times are tough and whatnot, our fans are the ones that support us. They're probably our best weapon. So let's don't lose our best weapon.
Absolutely. Terry Crisp, Predators TV analyst, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. It's interesting. Like, I mean, we've talked about the problems they've got with some of their high-paid guys. The production just hasn't been there from Johansson and Duchesne. And, you know, you've spent so much time, if you're the Predators, trying to find these guys. Like, I've watched the Predators since the first time they set foot on the ice here in Nashville. They have never had players for any length of time close to the caliber of Johansson and Duchesne down the middle. I mean, those have been guys they've been looking for throughout the history of their franchise, and that's got to be so frustrating for Preds fans, especially, I think even more so for a guy like Johansson, who you've seen do it. Like, we've seen Ryan Johansson in this uniform play at a very high level. Now, is he, you know, Connor McDavid or Sidney Crosby or Jonathan Toews at the top of his game? No, he's not, and he's not ever been that player. But he's been pretty darn good for this Predators team, and it's not been that way for the last year and a half with Ryan Johansson. I mean, that's frustrating that he's 28 years old, and the production right now is just not there from him. Duchesne, I mean, you've spent so much time, whether it's via trade rumors or just kind of trying to piece together some real estate items out there. I remember when he bought like a house here in Nashville as a, you know, like a second home, and people in Ottawa went crazy with it. People in Canada went crazy with it. Like, oh, Duchesne's coming to Nashville. Like, this has been such a long story with him as well. And right now, I mean, they're both getting paid $8 million per season. And like I said, you've got four goals between the two of them. I mean, it's just, you've worked so hard to get to this point, to get guys down the middle that you trust, and it just hasn't worked out. I mean, Kyle Turris, throw him in there too. He was a guy, he came in to be the second line center. If Kyle Turris works out the way that the Predators wanted him to work out, guess who's not here right now? Matt Duchesne. I mean, this is all tied together. They have really just fallen off the table down the middle right now.
And you mentioned the Albaturris for sure. That's, you know, that deal. But with Johansson, it's not like he has to be the guy who had 59 goals in those two seasons in Columbus. Yeah, shoot the puck more. Great. If Johansson could be 2016-17, 17-18, or 18-19 Johansson, you're talking about 61 points, 54 points, 64 points, 14 goals, 15 goals, 14 goals. Creator on a lethal, one of the best lines in hockey. If he had just continued to be that guy last season and into this season, I don't think we'd be having the same discussion. I don't. This team may not be a contender. I mean, there are other things that have been going the wrong way. But if you pointed to one guy that you could say, okay, go back in time and just maintain performance, I'd go back to the beginning of 2019 and say, Ryan Johansson, same performance that you've had the last three seasons.
Yep.
You're not, like you said, you're not superstar guy, but you're that 60-point type center who gets you about 45, 50 assists a year, creates so much offense, wins faceoffs, all, you know, you can do it all over the ice. If you're that guy, I think this team, I think we might be having a different discussion right now. Not to put it all on one person. There's a lot of things at work here. We've talked about other guys too, but that's, to me, the easy one guy you point to that said, see, if this goes wrong, then you have a sort of a little bit of a domino effect.
Yeah,
off
and it's
it.
Been kind of a trickle-down effect from there, for sure. And I don't think there's any question about it at this point. When we come back, we'll be joined by David Ubben from The Athletic. Get into the latest with the Tennessee Vols with him. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesale Link Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.